Good evening, and welcome to this Good Friday worship. My name is Bob Fuchs. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm the associate pastor. Sue Fuchs, my wife, will be assisting this evening as our liturgist. I want to just point out, as you look around the room, you can see that the crosses are covered. They're shrouded in black, and that's a visible reminder of the suffering that Jesus experienced on this day. And we have to get through this day and continue to move on as others did at that time. So if you would please stand and join me in the greeting that's printed in our bulletin. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree.
Please join me in the prayer. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, was lifted high upon the cross so that he might draw the whole world to himself. Grant that we, who glory in his death for our salvation, may also glory in his call to take up our cross and follow him. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The first scripture is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have the confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for the people of God. The second reading comes from John, chapter 19, verses 16 to 30. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priest of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that man claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled. That said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Caiaphas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Sue, and thank you to Susan and the choir for bringing us beautiful music on this special evening. It is finished. It is finished. With those three words, Jesus gave up his spirit, and his earthly life comes to an end. It is finished. In the Gospel of John, it starts out, Jesus was the Word. Jesus was with God. He was there in the beginning. The Word was God. The Gospels of Matthew and Luke tell of Jesus' coming into this world just over 33 years before his crucifixion. It was a life that began, as all other life does, through childbirth. He walked the earth. He ate. He drank. He grew. He loved. He forgave. He was human. All of this came to an end. In its simplest form, it was Jesus' human life that was finished. It is finished. To those opposed to Jesus, who sought to kill him, from their view, they had won. They had succeeded. No longer would they have to worry about this man who spoke words that threatened their power. No longer would they have to worry about this man who could gather an army from his followers. They had eliminated the threat. They may not have agreed with the charges that were written on the sign, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. In their view, he just claimed to be the King of the Jews. Pilate got it right. But no matter, in his death, they could go about their business. It would remain the way it was, the way they thought it should be. It is finished. For those who were brave enough to be at the cross, willing to risk the possibility of arrest and punishment, even death, it was finished. Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene, John, and Mary, Jesus' mother, were nearby, and their hearts were breaking. Jesus' care of his mother was finished, and yet he did not leave her alone. Jesus put Mary, his mother, in John's care, a responsibility that John accepted and lived out. Jesus made sure his mother was cared for because he would no longer be able to do it. It was finished. It is finished. For the disciples, their time with Jesus was over. Their teacher had been arrested and killed. One of their own, Judas, had betrayed him, and out of guilt or grief, Judas took his own life. And other than John, the rest of the disciples had fled. They were nowhere to be found. They were in fear for their own safety. Peter had denied Jesus three times. He is a failure as a disciple. And Jesus would no longer be with the disciples to teach them, to be their friend, to love them. I imagine that Jesus' final words, "It is finished," got back to the disciples as they moved from hiding place to hiding place. And the words may have confused them. You see, these are words that were used in business. They were printed on a debt, telling everyone it was paid in full. In the Greek, "it is finished" is tetelesti. It is a word that both present tense and future tense are together. But how can it be finished into the future? Jesus is dead. For the disciples, it might have been like looking at 500 pieces put together of a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. They could sort of make out what it was they were seeing, but they couldn't understand that in Jesus' final act of compassion and forgiveness, that the rest of those pieces were put into place, and the picture became clear. It is finished. The scriptures are fulfilled. This is a moment of confidence. God's work is done. From the soldiers casting lots for Jesus' clothes, "they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment," Psalm 22, verse 18. And after he had given up his spirit, John 19:34 tells us that one of the soldiers thrust a spear into Jesus' side. This fulfilled the words in Isaiah 53, verse 5, "but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." To Jesus saying, "I am thirsty," echoing Psalm 69:21, to a word of hope, "and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." The prophet Zechariah wrote these words in chapter 12, verse 10 of his book. It is finished. For those of us living today, some 2,000 years after Jesus' death, "it is finished" takes on a different meaning. We know that Jesus could die because he was human. We know that when they lifted Jesus up on the cross, they were lifting up our King. We know he has given us the greatest gift, his life, in exchange for forgiveness of our sins. The disciples, his mother, Mary, those in power, those who followed Jesus, they did not know what was coming next. Once Jesus' body was placed in the tomb, they believed it was finished, that it was over. Remember what took place on that first Good Friday, and spend time focusing on that greatest gift that God gave us, the gift of his Son, knowing that it is not finished yet. As we turn our hearts and minds to prayer, please listen to these words written by John W. Vest. "God of mystery and wonder, because we know the ending of the story, it's tempting for us to ignore the darkness of this day. It's tempting for us to go about our business as usual. It's tempting for us to move quickly, to move too quickly, to the dawn of light on Easter morning. But give us courage and strength on this day to live for a while in the darkness, to set aside comfort and pleasure, to feel the darkness in which so many of your children dwell, the darkness into which your Son Jesus entered. We reflect on the frailty of Christ. Remind us all of the frailty of all life. as we cringe at the suffering of Christ, make us mindful of suffering throughout the world. As we witness the death of Christ, bring us back full circle to the beginning of Lent, to the wisdom of Ash Wednesday, the awareness of our mortality, and the mortality of those we love. Gracious God, deep in the human heart is an unquenchable trust that does not end with death. Like a seed which is buried in order to bring forth life, Christ goes to the tomb to usher in new life. We trust that we too will be raised to new life in this world here and now, and in the mystery of what lies beyond physical death. We trust that the whole world will be born anew, that your kingdom is coming as a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. On this day of darkness, it is for this kingdom that we boldly pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The sun was setting. They took Christ's body down and placed it in a tomb, and the stone was rolled to cover the door. It is finished. We know the rest of the story, but as you leave here this evening and spend tomorrow, don't rush, but live in that wonderment of those days and the weight that people had and the fact that they did not know what was coming next. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.